What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome to the Marketing Seekers Podcast. So excited to have you here. Today, I'm going to share with you a behind-the-scenes interview with my man, Mr. Dana Derricks. So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets. Hey everyone, welcome back to Marketing Secrets. If you have not yet subscribed, if you are on iTunes, please subscribe and leave us a comment. If you are watching this on YouTube, please click on our YouTube channel, subscribe, so you can keep getting amazing videos like this. Now, right now, what I want to share with you guys is behind the scenes of a video that happened, or an interview that happened earlier last week. So Dana Derricks is in my Inner Circle program. He just started year number two. And when someone joins my Inner Circle or they re-up after a year, I let them be part of what we call Decade in a Day. Decade in a Day is basically where I take a decade of my life experiences, my business experiences, and I jam it into a day for that person. And basically, I do this about once a month with my Inner Circle members. And it was really funny because at this time, Dana showed up and instead of just asking me a bunch of – or instead of doing a normal like consult back and forth – he just came back and said, hey, I have a whole list of questions I want for you. And some were really good questions. Some were off the wall. There were all sorts of places. It was hilarious. But there was some really, really powerful, strong things that came out of the interview. And I thought between the humor and the gold, I thought it'd be awesome to share with you. So I asked Dana if you'd be willing to let me share this with you guys. And luckily for me and for you and for everybody, he said yes. And so I wanted to take you guys behind the scenes of a Decade in a Day call with Dana Derricks. And like I said, for those who don't know Dana yet, you will appreciate and love his humor. He is a goat farmer. He's speaking at Funnel Hacking Live, and some of these questions are amazing. So with that said, we're going to jump over the interview and have some fun. What's up, Dana?
Yo, what's up?
How's it going, man?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Amazing.
Weird people, look who it is. Oh, this is gonna be great.
This better be great.
yeah, no pressure, right?
We were betting before we turned it live, like, is he gonna have any goats like in the office with him? Or anyway,
well, if it wasn't so cold, I probably could have made that happen. So
that's amazing. So obviously I know you really well. Do you want to tell everyone who you are, who doesn't know, and then we can have some fun?
Yeah, we can do that. You're in for a treat, by the way. I think you're going to like this. I'm glad I'm last. I think whoever set that up, kudos to them. They deserve some treat, yeah. Yeah, Mandy. Oh, man. Hold your breath.
Literal or no?
No, you're okay. You'll be fine. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Are we live?
You're live.
Oh, you had to press a button or something. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm a goat farmer. I don't know technology very well. So we've been live for 5 minutes. I've blown 5 minutes of my time. If you don't know me, my name's Dana. I'm a goat farmer that Russell led into the Inner Circle. Also, I write copy. And that's books. About all. What?
And books, a lot of books.
Oh, yeah.
I got two new books from you this week, and I was like, did you write both these this week? It's amazing.
Kinda. yeah, did you get that package?
Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
With like, here's the salad you can eat now, and then here's what we can have after the Bort. The thing is, here we changed it from Bart to Bort.
You did?
That's a big and rip transformation. Bort is big or rip transformation, so you get to choose.
Oh.
So we're Bart Bort now, so feel free to do that. He'll love it.
Bort Miller, I love it. yeah, dude, no, the secret about sending stuff in the mail is it's a lot harder to opt out of receiving mail in the mail as opposed to like email. So that's kind of the trick. But
you anyway. Should a clip during your presentation, you should like clip from Seinfeld where Kramer's like, I'm out of the mail, and he like bricks up his mailbox and
Yeah, that's good. I like that. And you can tell when they do opt out because your stuff comes back to you. That's awesome. Okay. So I guess I have a something prepared. I don't have any slides or anything. I don't really understand technology that well. So I have a list of just a bunch of questions.
Sweet.
I'm going to ask you if that's okay.
Heck yeah.
All right, cool. So there's going to be three sections. One, the first is just business. The second is life. And then the third is whatever questions we're going to open it up to. You guys can ask me. You can pick. Feel free to pick my brain all you want. And then the audience can interject. I don't know where they are, but if you guys can see anything that they're saying, let's do it. Cool? Sounds
perfect. Let's do it.
All right. If you start talking too long, because I've got this spaced out just right, I'll probably just cut you off, okay? Okay. So don't worry about it. I'll control the time. All right. We'll start off easy, okay? What would you estimate to be the ROI on the spend of one goat over a 12-month period?
For average humans or for Dana?
You'd be surprised. I'd say average humans.
For an average human, it's probably not very good. Maybe goat. You can milk goats, right?
Yep.
You can.
You eat goats? Probably don't eat goats, do you?
I wouldn't advise it.
So you milk them, you shear them to get like wool?
No, they have weird fur.
They're just milk. All right.
Pretty much. Milk and cheese.
Milk and cheese. I bet you double the ROI. I bet if you pay $1,000 for a goat, you get about $2,000 back.
That's really close. That's real good. Did John tell you that?
No, that was off the top of my head. I had no idea.
Okay, cool. Nice. Good, good. You're going to have goats soon.
I have AstroTurf now in my field. They can't.
They'll eat it. Don't worry. Okay, what would be one thing, or what would be the one thing you would suggest anybody starting out in business to focus on?
Like the initial, your first beginning?
Yep.
Probably focusing on developing yourself through like serving other people until you like actually become amazing at whatever it is you want to sell in the future.
Mm. So other people's results instead of your own.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay.
Go and like serve people, get results. And then that becomes a catalyst for everything else.
Nice. What would be one thing you'd suggest anybody that's already having success to focus on?
Does this become a book someday? This is like the chapters of a book. He's pre-writing it. He's making me write the book for him.
In content.
I can use this time however I want, Russell. people are already having success. I would say the biggest thing is a lot of times, especially as like creators, like we have success and we get complacent for a while because I think initially when we start, a lot of times we are thinking about ourselves and then you get to the point where it's like all your needs are met. And most people sit complacent until they realize that like this has nothing to do with them. When you transition back to like, how do I serve people more? That's when like the next level of success happens. Like as for me, like business for me was selfish for a long time. I was trying to like figure out how to make money. And then my needs were met, and then more so, and then it's like, now what? And it wasn't until like I really started focusing on like the contribution side of it that all of a sudden like then it lights you back on fire again because you don't. Like someone asked me yesterday, like, why don't you sell for whatever? And I'm like, I don't need money at this point in my life. Like this is about like the contribution, which is like the exciting part. Like money gets dumb after you pay your house off. You're like, well, I don't know what else to do.
Like legacy at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Love it. What's your biggest secret to building funnels?
I don't start building a funnel until I found another funnel that I'm modeling, like a concept. So like, I'm always very clear of like, this is where we're going. And number two, I focus most of the effort and energy on the copy or the stories. Like each page of the funnel is its own story that you're telling, you're crafting to get them to take the next action. And that's where we focus. I don't know. Anyone can do a funnel now with ClickFunnels. Like, I got a funnel. It's like understanding and mastering the story. Even like the short form story, like I've got a headline and opt-in box. Like what's the story I'm telling there? And what's the story for the landing page and the upsell page? And like, it's basically taking the perfect webinar structure and breaking it down into like in over a set of pages and orchestrating the whole thing together. So that's where I spend most of my time.
Okay. Would you also say it's like, then connecting the dots too. It's like taking them on a journey. It's not because people think you just throw them in the top and then they end up at the bottom, but you have to like hold their hand throughout.
Yeah. And hold your hand. And it's like, and I literally like when I'm doing a funnel, I always think about like, if my mom was to come and buy this thing, Like, let's say she bought this Superman little thing and she's like, this is awesome. And then she buys that. And then she looked at me like, what should I get next? And I'm like, okay, let me explain to you why you need the next thing. And like, you're, yeah. So, it's, and it's not like I get people all the time to ask me, like, their questions are like, what price point should my upsell be? I'm like, that has nothing to do with anything. Like, the price point's completely irrelevant. It's, they just bought this. What's the next logical thing that they need or that they think they need to get the end result they're trying to get? Like, that's the thing. And then whatever the price is, doesn't really matter. It's just like, does it logically make sense? Like, I have this, now I need this, now I need this, and this is where I'm going.
Dude, you'd be such a good goat farmer, because it's like, when they get out, no, really, they get out, they're in the neighbor's yard, okay? So you got to get in the four-wheeler to get over there, and you got to, like, bring just enough treats to get them back into your yard. So then now they're in your yard, which is an improvement, but they're still not in the pen. Then you got to get them over to the gate with another set of treats, and then you got to keep them there long enough to get the gate open and then get them back into their actual pen. It's the same thing as funnels, right?
Goat funnel secrets. You should tell this. That's actually really cool. That's what you're doing. This is the name of the book we're writing right now, isn't it?
Maybe. That's awesome. Okay. What's your biggest secret to traffic and getting people into your funnels?
You know the answer to this already, but our biggest focus is Dream 100 at all levels. Like, SEO is Dream 100. PPC is Dream 100. Facebook ads are Dream 100. Dream 100 is like affiliate. So it's like, I'm a hyper big believer in, like, we're not going to create traffic. So it's like, who's already congregated that traffic? And then we Dream 100 them from every level, every aspect. Like, we're doing SEO stuff right now, and it's like, it's funny because everyone's like, well, what, how do we get backlinks? I was like, Dream 100. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's fine. Who's got the best blogs, the best traffic, the best page rank? We Dream 100 them and get an article. And then that gets the dream link we want back. And then that solves all problems.
Awesome. What's your biggest secret to converting traffic once they're in your funnel?
So I always say that the world we live in right now, there's like two steps. There's like the front end direct response. That's like all conversion to get somebody to do whatever we need to get into our world. And then when they're in our world, I transition from, I don't transition away from direct response, but I layer in branding with direct response. And now it's like personality and direct response principles together. So the front end doesn't, like, personality doesn't get somebody to opt in. Typically a new person, it's like hardcore, like curiosity, like the right hook to get somebody in. And after they're in, to keep them there, it's like, I instantly transform into brand and personality and things like that. And the better connection I can build with people, the faster, the easier conversion is. So it's like always putting in all this like time and effort into building trust, rapport, and then the conversion stuff becomes easier and easier and easier afterwards. It's funny, so Natalie Hodson did a video last night. I think she did two nights ago. I watched it last night at Facebook Live of her. It was like, don't buy my courses. And then she told her whole story about why she started doing this, and how she, and told her whole story about how she like came to this business and how much money she has to spend on ads to sell a book, and how she's able to have women. And they told that story. And I told her, I boxed her. I'm like, this is so good. I'm like, everyone that opts in, make them watch this first, because they will instantly love you. And then they'll buy everything else you ever have from that point forward. And just like, so, it's, but like, that would be horrible as a front end ad. Like, nobody would ever buy off it. But it's like, you get, convert them in, use that attention now to like build a brand and a connection. And then conversion becomes super easy. Now it's just taking them on the story of your life and how what you're offering them fits in, like the story between you and that, like why you create that and how that story hooks back to them.
Love it. So with that too, like that's part of the strategy of entertaining and putting out, just letting them into your life. And I think it's important for people to know too, because ultimately, like, looking at the stats, that stuff you could argue is a waste of time. But at the end of the day, it's not, because you're doing exactly what you're suggesting by, like, that's the overall strategy on that, isn't it?
100%. Because then, like, I can put an offer nowadays to my own audience. If I drive traffic to it, it would never convert. Like, that same offer out to my audience, and we'll do $1 million in an app, you know, like in a webinar, because it's like, they love me, they trust me at this point, they have connection with me. Like, if I'm creating it, whereas like, again, cold traffic wouldn't work. So it's like, it's that, I don't know, like when I got started in this game, it was 100% direct response. And there's like the branding guys who like, I always hated. Now it's like the mushing of those two worlds together. It's like,
yeah,
direct response to get them in, and then the branding to build a connection. And then like that handoff is like, I think that's the future of marketing. It's those two schools of thoughts like merging together into superpower.
That's awesome. I totally get that as a direct response guy. Okay. So before I ask the next one, I have to just throw a disclaimer. I was not involved in all of the question selection. Okay. So just putting that out there. Okay. So I wanted to clear the air and dispel the rumors. Is the CEO of Loki Pages actually running the company from prison?
I think so.
Yes. Okay. Awesome.
pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Must be. With the branding, it makes perfect sense.
Did you know the real CEO of the Real Low Key Pages got... Anyway, I probably shouldn't say it publicly on video. Never mind.
Cool. actually awesome. Yeah. I didn't do any background research on that one. That was a mistake. what's your best advice for somebody deploying the Dream 100?
I think it's understanding like tiers of levels. Like when I first got in this game, I remember the people that were like, I was trying to connect with were like Joe Vitale, Mark Joyner, like all these guys who were just like legends. And I tried so hard to get their attention and like, no matter how creative I was, it just kind of fell on deaf ears. I remember being offended and kind of upset at first. But I was like, I don't know. I was just kind of a nobody at the time. And then, so after trying that for a while and like not having any success, I'm like, oh, this doesn't work. And then I met a bunch of people that were kind of at my same level or a little above me, but just like, but they were approachable. It was guys like Mike Philsame and, I can't remember who it was back then, but a bunch of guys like that. And we were all kind of same level. So I started connecting with them at Dream 100. And because like they weren't up here, they were here, we became friends. And we all started like cross promoting each other and helping each other. And what's cool is in a very short period of time, like within a year to year and a half, all of our businesses came up to these other guys. And at that point, I started contacting these guys again. And they're like, oh, I see you everywhere, man. I'm like, oh, and like, I've been sending you stuff for years and you never respond back. And now like, and then they answer your call. And then I think it's like, yes, send a package to Tony Robbins. That's amazing. He's probably not going to deal with any of us. It took me 10 years to get Tony to finally put up something. Like 10 years of my life. And he was like, Russell's book's awesome. You should read it, right? But 10 years it took of that. So like, that's awesome. But like, what's better is like, look around in the market right now and who's kind of at your level and start connecting there. And it may not be like a $1 billion win overnight, but a whole bunch of little wins add up. And eventually you're best friends with whoever you need to be up here at that level. So I think that's the biggest thing I would tell people.
Man, I hope the inner circle's listening, because that is a great lesson for all of us. Because there you go, right? Okay, how many times were you on the verge of completely giving up?
Oh man, like how many days did that happen, or
how many different times do you think?
Man, there were a lot. One happened early. I mean, it lasted probably a couple of weeks. Was just like, oh, and then I figured out the piece. After our company collapsed, right, I lay off like 80 people overnight. Like it was every day for 2 years. And I would have quit if I didn't have tax obligations to IRS that would have thrown me in jail if I would have quit. So I had some really good motivators.
Nice. Thank you.
Two years I hated this business and I did not like it even a little bit until we finally paid the IRS off. And like, it took that strain off where it was like, now creativity can happen again. And then it became fun again. Nice. But, a lot of times, I still times nowadays, even it's funny, like, where some days you're just like, God, like, why are we doing this? And I don't know what causes that, but I think for me, like, whenever that does happen, it's like a selfish thing where I'm thinking about myself more. And then what's cool is like, I'll in bed sitting there like miserable. I'll see my phone and I'll see a bunch of Voxers from people. And like, every time I have a Voxer that's like someone says something nice about me, I star it. So I have a whole list of like starred ones. So I was like, go and listen to those. And all these people who are like, I got one of yours in there. I got other people. It's just like, you hear them like the gratitude for what you're doing and like, thank you for what you, and it's just like, all right, that's why we do this. And we're back into the game. So it's less often nowadays for me, for sure. During the downtimes, it's tough and it happened a lot.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. And he's definitely not lying, folks. Cause when I was out there writing copy for you, I remember somebody did something stupid. I don't know. Somebody said something or whatever. And you got like, you're like, geez, like seriously. And then you're like, sarcastically, I think you said, I don't want to be CEO anymore. And or whatever. You're like, I just want to like create stuff. And then I'm sitting there in the corner. I'm thinking like, I like glance over at Dave. I'm thinking like, I'll be CEO.
I want your problems, Russell. That's awesome.
Yeah. So just, I'll be on deck.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a lot. Like my goal was never like 15 years ago, when I started, I was like, someday I'm going to be a CEO of a big, huge company. I'm going to be on video. I'd be like, no, like I just wanted to like create, like for me, it says art, right? Like, why do I keep creating funnels? People are like, your company's doing great. It's like it's the art for me. I'm an artist. Like, this is how I do my art. I just love it. And so it's like, yeah, a lot of times I would much rather just like hang up the CEO hat and go back to the art of doing the thing. But you know,
it's awesome. Okay. Looking back, what do you wish you would have done differently?
From ClickFunnels as a whole or business as a whole, or just,
yeah, let's look at business as a whole.
I think man, the first 10 years of my life, I was running around trying to like be all things to all people. And like 3.5, 4 years ago, the first time I was like, kind of set my flag in the ground what I was going to do. And as far as like ClickFunnels as a whole, looking back on it now, I think I would have started a software company way faster. That's 100% sure. Like of all the business models I've done, like it's the one I like the most, but I would have done different too. Like I think if I was to start over from scratch, I would have just done ClickFunnels, and that would, like, we wouldn't have had Backpack and Actionetics, all these other things. I would just like, I would have made it simpler. Like I look at some people with software where it's sticky, but it's simple. Like it does one thing. Mm-hmm. Like there's power in that where it's like your tech team can focus on making that one thing better, better and better, as opposed to like right now, our biggest problem we've had until just recently is like our tech team is like focused on this part over here. And it's like, okay, everyone move over here and over here. And then, and so now we're at the point where, as we did that the last time through, we are taking focus here. We hired a whole bunch of people to like learn it while they were in there focusing, then we left, and now they're focusing on making it better. But it's taken us 3 years to get to that point. So I think I would have made simpler software that just everyone could focus on like one thing, one, like that's the thing too. It's like ClickFunnels, I have so many messages I got to sell now, and so many, I would have focused on just simple message, simple tool, simple thing.
I love that. So, do you know what a Juicy Lucy is? The burger?
No, sounds amazing. Oh.
Yeah, it is. So it might be a Minnesota thing. So Brandon and Kalen flew out for a Viking game, and then we went and hung out for a while. And they took me to this bar in this weird neighborhood, really sketchy, to get a Juicy Lucy. So it's basically a burger with, like, cheese in the middle. And it was this place called Matt's Bar in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's world famous. Anyway, we get in there, and I'm with Brandon and Kalen. We get in line for the burger. It's just a nasty-looking place. It's really bad, but great burger. World famous. And what we noticed was, so they served us the burger with fries and ketchup, and then like a napkin in a, like a crappy little basket. And then we had water. And then I think it was Kalen was like, hey, do you have like ice? And they're like, nope. Like, oh, a bar without ice. And I was like, someone else asked for something, but then I asked, do you guys have a fork? Nope. So they have Juicy Lucy's and French fries, and they do that better than every other person. And that's why, even despite all their shortcomings, they're the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good lesson, I think, for everybody. Yeah. All right, lightening the mood a bit. Did you know that James Preheal is actually a decently nice guy deep down?
He's actually a nice guy deep down.
You know that? He is.
I see glimpses of that. I think it's possible, but it's definitely very deep.
Is he there? Where is he? He has the day off.
Did he leave for the day?
I don't know. His computer's here. I don't know.
His computer's here. We'll make fun of him.
Yeah, of course. He's probably skipped out early. Okay. What are you glad you did and wouldn't change business-wise?
Biggest thing I'm glad I did, and this took me 12 years before I did it, was actually bringing in partners. I was first 12 years, I was like, nope, I'm Russell. I'm the guy who started this business, blah, blah, blah. And like, and so because of that, like you can hire people, but that's it. And then ClickFunnels came around. Todd and I sat down, we brainstormed the whole thing at ClickFunnels. And he's like, hey, I'm only gonna do this if we can be partners instead of like an employee. And I was just like, oh, and like the prideful Russell was like, no, I'm not like, but then I was like, this is the end of my whole business crashing. So I've been humbled a lot. And I was like, you know what? All right, let's do it. And like, transformed everything. So grateful for that. And I think if I was ever to start a company again, like my first step before everything would be assembling my Avengers team or my Justice League team, whatever you want to call it. Before I got started, like, hey, I need the best in the world. These five spots, I got to identify, here's the five or six people or things we need. And I'd go and spend the first year just recruiting those people and getting them in place and then create the thing. Instead of like you starting as an entrepreneur and then hiring employee one, then employee two, then employee, you know, it's like, man, so much faster just to go the other way around.
Awesome. What's the craziest thing you've ever sent in the mail?
Physical mail?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have mine. I can tell you my friend's story because it's the craziest ever.
Okay. I think I know it, but oh, go for it.
Did I tell you this already? So my friend, he pooped in a box and then he sent it and he mailed it. And apparently it's a federal offense to mail poop. And so he did it at college, and the college mail room got it and smelt it, and he actually got expelled from Brigham Young University, but it never went to the mail. But apparently it's a federal offense to mail poop. So
wow, So it got intercepted before it departed from BYU campus.
It could have been bad.
Wow. Okay. So I don't recommend that, right?
I think the weirdest thing I've ever mailed, though, not mailed, those like pizzas. I call like pizza. I've done this a lot of times, but call the pizza delivery place wherever the guy's at and like deliver like 10 pizzas at once. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Just to get people's attention.
Yeah. Works yeah. Good.
Love it. What's something that having a team relieves you from?
It lets me, like right now with ClickFunnels, people always ask me like, how do you keep up with the software? I'm like, I don't, I use it and I complain and that's all I do. And then like that team does everything. And so like, I don't have to worry about that. And then, like I only focus on like the part I like, which is the marketing. And like, that's all I have to do. Like I get to stay within my like unique ability and not have to like blend all the other things. And I think that's the key of like, in fact, James P. Frill, if he was here, he'd quote some famous old guy who said something that was really cool. But like the division of labor, something, there's the quote. He can find it for us. But like basically like letting me be my unique ability and having every other person do the unique ability as opposed mm-hmm. to other things. Like Mandy, when she started coaching with us, was really cool, is she just focused on the coaching of it, right? And then first I was like, okay, and then do this and this and this. And she struggled, like the administration of it wasn't very good. Melanie's amazing administration. So I'm like, how about Melanie help Mandy? Like, and like now it just runs awesome. So it's like, and Melanie's like the most amazing person like that in the world. Like, so it's like, let's everybody like be good in the unique ability. Where I used to try to like bring someone in a role and try to give them like 30 things to do because I thought that they should all be able to do 30 things. Where they did one thing in the unique ability, everything else just sucked. And I did a podcast on this a little while ago, but I think the reason is because as entrepreneurs, we start the business initially and we have to do all 30 things. We suck at most of them, but because like we just have so much brute force, like we have success, and then we hire people, expect them to do 30 things like we did, and that's like the wrong way to look at it. It's like you bring someone in to do one thing and be the best at that, and take that piece away from you, and they do it a million times better, and then you can keep doing that. That's what team gives me the ability to do now. It's just focus on my unique ability and nothing else.
Love it. Okay, I reserved 30-second time slot for you to give a shameless plug to something you'd like to sell, starting.
Wow.
No.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the pitch section of the decade of the day. I would really like to sell. I have nothing else to sell these guys. What else do we have? I kind of want to do. I got nothing, man. I don't even know. Oh, I know what we can do. Okay. So you see this book? It's pretty cool. This book I'm not going to sell, but we just wrote a book called Network Marketing Secrets for MLMers. And it's like exactly this thing. It's got cartoons like this in it. It's so awesome. So that's going to go live in like a week and a half. So you guys should go buy that. Even if you're not in network marketing, just to support me and to funnel hack me.
Awesome. Love it. How do they get it? Where, is there even a URL yet?
It will be at networkmarketingsecrets.com.
Go there. No, it's okay. There. Dude, that was actually really good off the cusp like that. Well done. I should have given you a heads up. Okay. Now I have reserved myself 30 seconds for a shameless plug. Okay. And mine's more rehearsed and go. So, all the time I get people ask me literally all the time, Dana, how do you sell a book for $2,000 when everybody else sells them for $20? How do you charge $20,000 for something that other people charge $500 for? How do you make so much money as a goat farmer with only 4 goats in your herd? Right. And I'm just like, dude, it's simple. It's the Dream 100. So, if you haven't had a chance, if you don't know what the Dream 100 is, go, get Chet Holmes' Ultimate Sales Machine book. If you do and you're ready to just go hog wild in it and explode your business, then go get the Dream 100 book. And ta-da.
What do you think of Dream 100 book, Dana?
Dream100book.com. Okay,
is it,
cool.
Is it? What's the price on it? Is it still?
It's $2,000. Well, and unless you find the secret link where you can get it free plus shipping. But
is the secret link? Dream100book.com
/free. Don't share it. Oh boy. What's the biggest domino you tip over every day?
Dang, these are good questions. Every day. For me now, it's making sure that my team all has what they need to get done what they're doing. Like as I'm looking at my role now, it's less of me doing things and more of me coaching people who are doing things. So it's making sure that like everyone has the ability to run in the morning so that they're not waiting on direction or, you know what I mean? and we have a lot of East Coast people. So like before I go to bed at night, I try to make sure that like East Coast people have what they have. So when they wake up 2 hours before I do, that they can like start running. That's the biggest thing.
Awesome. That's great. I heard the internet speed in Boise is capped at 1.5 megabits per second. Is that really true? If so, how can such a successful tech company be headquartered there?
Is that true, Melanie? Do you know?
I have no idea.
I get no idea. We do get angry though often at it. So is that really true?
I have no idea. I'm in a much more rural area. So I just, yeah, I doubt it. I just published my 5th earth-shattering book for entrepreneurs and sellers. Should I keep writing more and put them on the shelf for a while to collect dust and do nothing at all with the hundreds of hours invested in them, or start promoting and sell them? That's a jab at myself, because you called me out on the last mastermind for that.
No, I think what's funny though is that last mastermind is where I had my big epiphany too, of like focusing on the value ladder, and then all our creativity should be focused on the front end of the value ladder, bring people in. Like I spent almost every day since then trying to get the rest of my value ladder in place. I've killed 2 businesses that both made over $1 million a year.
Wow.
Because they didn't fit in the value ladder. And like, so I took that to heart. I know hopefully you have as well. I think that's it. Like you can keep creating stuff, but it's like, as long as there's the back end to support it.
Love it. The only other time I went to Orlando, Florida, my fiance ended up coming home pregnant. Should we put out a PSA to warn couples traveling there for Funnel Hacking Live that there's something in the air down there?
Did you hear Melanie's laugh?
Melanie's dying over there. Are we doing a wedding when we get down there this time too? Because the first time we got pregnant, second time we got married.
I'm lobbying. I got people lobbying for it right now.
Yeah,
it's going to become a hashtag. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to skip to the good ones. I read about a story about a farmer who was visiting your house that tripped into your pool in the pitch black and fell flat out on your pool cover and nearly ripped it apart and scared all of your children in the process. Is that true?
It is so true. I wish the camera would have been rolling for that, because it was amazing. We have a pool cover that's like the same color as the cement around it. And it was dark outside. So Dana goes and walks right into the pool cover, like, whoosh, and it's like, and my kids are like, ah! It was amazing.
Oh, man. Okay, finishing up here. Will you sell me your domain name, dream100secrets.com, please? You're not even using it.
Do I own that one?
Yeah, you're not using it, though. I could use it.
I might be up for that. Definitely maybe. Definitely maybe.
Just think about it. Okay, well, I've exhausted all the good ones, so unless there's any good ones in the chat.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Everyone's just going crazy.
Everyone's just laughing at me.
Loving this. This is amazing. This is gorgeous.
No good questions.
All right. That's all right. Unless you have anything for me, I mean.
Let me think. When are you launching the super funnel? Actually, so did I tell you what we call it inside our office now for us?
Oh, this is going to be good.
Hold on. Which board is it on? There it is. This is called Project Mother Funnel. Mm. This is our mother funnel that sends people all the way up through our value ladder in the shortest period of time possible, in the most exciting way possible, aka Project Mother Funnel. So my question for you, with your new value ladder and multiple front ends, when is your Project Mother Funnel all going live? I want to hold you accountable. We got to cover up that wall.
I know. I wish I could show you through that wall. It's still there. I'm going to say ASAP. How's that?
I love it. I'm getting this done by my birthday, March 8th, my birthday present to myself. Could you get yours done by March 8th?
I'll do it. And what's the bet then? Who has to do what?
If you.
That's how you motivate, Dana. That's good. That's good. It's not money.
It's not at all. Let's see. It has to be a wedding or goats or both.
Yep.
Let's see.
So you lose Dana, you get married at Funnel Hacking Live.
He wants that though. Becca doesn't. That's the problem.
I actually do.
Oh.
Yeah.
They want a beach wedding. Okay. So if he's on the beach, we can do it.
We could bring the beach to us.
I have sand. There's sand in Boise. We could bring it in the room. It'd be a pain. But it'd be worth
it. How about you have to bring a goat to your office for a day if you don't hit yours?
Okay.
and I have to sleep with my goats for a night.
Wait, like, you would enjoy that though. That's not
what kind of. Yeah, there's different levels of that.
There we go. I have to.
No,
hey, don't knock it till you try it, you guys. Jeez.
Oh, man. How about this? If you get the whole thing live by my birthday, I may be willing to sell you dream100secrets.com. If not, I'm launching a competitor product. Ooh. I'm going to take you out.
Oh, geez. It's going to be a nasty smear campaign. Okay, deal. I take the deal.
That's awesome.
But what happens if you don't get it by March 8th?
Oh, he will.
There'll be a goat here for a day.
I'm in on that.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be actually a good episode, but yeah. Oh, well. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Dana. You're awesome, man.
Thanks,
Dana. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Would you like to see behind the scenes of what we're actually doing each day to grow our company? If so, then go subscribe to our free behind the scenes reality TV show at www.funnelhacker.tv.